Welcome back to a new episode of the Calisthenics Insider Podcast by Gore Nation. My name is Phil, and today's guests are two absolute beasts. We have Bruno as the endurance champion. We have Uroš as 3 times world record holder. This episode is fully packed with advice for workout, for nutrition, for mindset of a champion. So you have everything to crush your new year. Also, Gore Nation just launched 4 new products, 2 new pull-up bars for the door, 1 pull-up station where you can do dips, pull-ups, squats, everything, and floor mats. So check them out in the shop. And now lean back, enjoy the interview, and let's go. Welcome everyone to a new podcast episode of the Calisthenics Insider Podcast. Today I'm sitting here with 2 absolute beasts in the endurance and sets and reps field. Welcome Bruno, welcome Uroš to the podcast.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for inviting me.
So it's 2025. We're recording this still in 2024 in December. But a lot of things are ahead. I guess you guys also have big goals for the new year. Maybe Uroš, you want to start. What are your goals for the next year, for this year?
Well, yeah. So 2025 is going to be, you know, maybe the toughest year so far. So I have a huge plan, of course, to compete, you know, to go as much as I can to the competitions, because that was not the case in the past years. Beside that, I want with my friend Nikola to try to create one big calisthenic competition in this area. So that's gonna be something new for the next year. And of course, I need to improve my workout skills as much as I can. You know, I need to optimize my form for the competition, because you know I saw that on the last calisthenic cup where did I make mistakes, so I need to fix that. So beside that, you know, I have all the things going on with the YouTube channel, you know, and all that world. So it's gonna be a tough year, you know, but the year is gonna be full of workouts, creating new plans for workouts, and basically it's gonna be really fun.
Nice. Yeah. Bruno, what about you?
Well, yeah, basically pretty much the same. Plans for next year kind of started pretty spontaneously for me. Max True kind of hit me up on Instagram and asked me, "Yo, bro, do you want to, you know, compete with me on this new competition in Porto, in Portugal? It's a team competition, so I don't really know what to expect. I think it's really similar to basic competition, you know, just you are in team with another athlete, and maybe you do some weighted reps. I don't know who is going to finish the quicker, which team. So yeah, this is something I prepare for, because Max True is beast with the weights. I don't want to, you know, slack behind him. I don't want him to carry me all the time, especially on muscle ups. So this is something I'm working on. But other than that, also I'm preparing for this competition, of course, Calisthenics Cup in 4th month in Germany. Trying to get injury free. I'm still not, but I'm really close to it. Last year was like the toughest for me. I was really injured. Also, I was parallelly doing these big competitions where I just couldn't give my 100%. But I think this year is going to be much, much closer to that. Maybe even I'll be able to, you know, get entirely injury free. And this is something I look really forward to.
Nice. Do you think it's unhealthy for the joints to make thousands of reps? This is what I'm always asking, because maybe when you're 70, 80, you will say, "Oh, why did I do this? Why my wrists, my shoulders?" What do you think?
I think it depends. I think if you slowly, you know, overload them with higher and higher rep ranges, I think your body is able to adapt to almost anything. I think the most important thing is that you do it progressively, not, you know, just decide tomorrow I'll do 10 times more than today. This is where heart injuries start happening. So I mean, if I like look at myself now and 5 to 10 years ago, I'm able to do 10 much more reps, and it's not that I'm injured because of that. It's simply because when you're competing on professional level, it's really hard, you know, sometimes to take a rest day. It's important, but we are all in our heads. There is also ego playing a big role. So I know that I could play smarter, but things already happened, and right now I'm learning from it. But yeah, my answer is no. I think your body is able to adapt on almost anything.
Yeah, you got the point, Bruno. I mean, I can add something like that. It is really important how we place our wrists, you know, doing some exercises, for example, push-ups. If we decide to do only volume, you know, like thousands of reps, you know, per week, I think it's going to be better for us to position our wrists in a more natural position. You know, if we do thousands of reps like this, eventually it's going to start hurting us over here. So the best way is to do on parallels for a push-ups, for example. That can save our wrists a lot in the next years. And I learned that on myself. Also, I think the proper and healthy nutrition needs to be, you know, on the high level. If we want all of those vitamins and minerals, you know, of course, supplements, you know, we need to really take care of our joints, you know, and our wrists. So that's the really big important part of working out on the bars, especially when doing weighted calisthenics.
Yeah, I have to think of the quote, people overestimate what they can do in 1 week, but they underestimate what they can do in 1 year. So it's really not about saying, oh, after this podcast, I'm so motivated, I will go out. If Uwash does, 1,000 push-ups in a session, I can do 500 as well. And from zero go to 500 today, this doesn't make any sense. You will have big problems afterwards. And this was also my mistake in the beginning in 2013. When I started, I saw a crazy workout with a lot of burpees in it. I don't know why I did burpees back then, but I didn't do any sports for years, just gaming. And then fully was motivated from a YouTube video, and then went to do 500 burpees in one training. I vomited, but the day after my knees swole up and I was really close to surgery. I had to wear a cast the whole summer. And it's like super, super important to not rush it, you know, to build a solid foundation. Even if you see the workouts that you guys are doing, start really slow and build up to it, because it's like, for how many years did you build up to that?
Yeah. I mean, it's okay to see someone on internet doing really hard sets, you know, that can motivate you, inspires you, but beginners have that unrealistic goals, you know. They want, just like you said, to do 1,000 push-ups in next 2 months per session, but it's really impossible. I mean, that was my case, you know, in the beginning. In those days, I had only, you know, one goal, to do as many reps as I can during my workout, you know. And in those days, my workouts were like 3 to 5 to 6, maybe 7 hours long, you know. It was crazy, you know. I was on the bar all day. Thanks God, you know, I didn't get injured, you know. I was just not informed about everything, you know. But back in those days, you know, internet was a privilege in my country. So, you know, I had to learn everything on my own, based on my own experience. But that's a huge lesson, you know, that I'm trying to teach all the people that they are watching my YouTube channel, you know, that you need to set up your goals, you know, you need to learn the basics, like, you know, how to do something. And when you learn that, you can think about something further, you know. It's simple, but I know our ego, you know, I know our head wants to be 2 steps in the front, but that's not possible. I mean, it is possible, but you will get injured eventually.
Yeah, Bruno, you also said like ego played a role in your injuries, like over pushing. Can you maybe tell us more how it came to the injuries?
Yeah, it's always like that with me. I always like to push, you know, my boundaries, but there is something that is called, you know, deloads, which I know about, but I'm not yet using them as much as I should. Also, rest days. I remember there was like one point of my life, and I didn't do like rest day for a year or something. Yeah, my volume wasn't that high, but imagine not taking rest for a year. You know, just training 7 days a week all the time. And for some reason I was still able to progress, but as I got older right now, it's really impossible. You can actually see, I mean, I'm 26 years old. That's not that old. It's not old at all. But if you compare 26 year old with 23, 22, 20 years old, you really in that time have so much more ability to recover. And not only that, I was even weaker back then. So my volume, I couldn't get as much to my genetic potential when it comes to volume, when it comes to intensity. So it was just much easier to recover. Right now, everything has to be calculated with me. Not only workouts, nutrition. I remember I wasn't even tracking my nutrition. I was just eating whatever I wanted. So yeah, right now I'm slowly, you know, just like everyone else, just like Ashke said, learning by myself. I don't really like when I was just starting with this sport. I really didn't really like, you know, looking a lot of tutorials. I was simply enjoying what I do, and that's why I've done it. But right now, I'm really learning about it, not only for me, for myself. I also wanted to teach other people, you know, how to progress from this training style. And yeah, this year and last year, I realized how much recovery, deloads, and everything besides training is important. So yeah, that's what I'm working on right now.
Because I think when we're young, the body tolerates this, you know, like we can, like if you have bad genetics and if you're unlucky, Roche, you call it thanks God. But like there are really people who have not the genetics and they will directly get injured in the elbows, in the wrists, whatever. But some people between us are like more lucky with their genetics that the joints are more resistant. But I think as older we get, the wiser we also have to get, because I think the athletes who are not getting wiser, who are not learning from their mistakes, they are the ones dropping out because the body can't tolerate the same mistakes when it's 30 or 35 or 40. So, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, we need to be smarter, of course.
That's true. How do you handle deloads, Roche? How is your structure for the week?
I actually started deload this week, so it's gonna be I think at least for 15 days, because I trained really hard in the last couple of months, especially in this last 2 months, you know, because you know I was preparing for a calisthenic cup requirements for 2025. So you know I felt, you know, the last time I did a set, you know, that my body needs to take that kind of relax, you know. Right now, you know, I'm doing maybe five workouts per week, but those workouts are really light, maybe 20 to 30 minutes per session. I mean, I'm really enjoying it. I'm just going there to chill, you know, do a couple of sets, you know, listening cool music during those workouts, you know, and just relax my body, you know. But I'm just, you know, trying to maintain as much as I can of my, you know, workout capabilities. So I just need to relax, you know. That's the point. When I start feeling my body needs to relax, you know, I will start with the load week or 2 weeks or maybe 3 weeks, and maybe that will decrease, you know, my maximum reps on pull-ups, push-ups, whatever, you know. But I know that when I come back, I will reach them really fast and maybe go above them. So we need to be smart, you know. Take one step back and 2 steps after that, going in the front.
Yeah, because what we're doing is a marathon, not a sprint. You know, it's not about what you can
Exactly. Yeah.
put into 1 week injury free or something, but it's about what you put into 1 year, into 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really long road, you know. I'm now entering in my 15 year of working out, so it's a really, really long period of doing exercises. So I mean, I don't have a space for a mistake. So in that reason, you know, I'm wiser now, you know, I would say, because of those experience in the past. You know, I train in a planned manner, in relation to my goal. You know, I'm not just chasing the volume, you know. I mean, volume is a part of the workouts, but there are also something else, you know, like I want to build endurance, you know. I want to build body work capacity, you know, and all of those things, you know, I wanted to maintain working out without getting injured. So we need to be a lot smarter if we want to reach our maximum potential. So yeah, that's the message.
Nice. How does your weekly schedule look like, Bruno?
So right now, as I said, I'm trying to prepare myself for this competition that is coming into second month. So I started bringing some weight on my trainings, and this is actually fitting me really good, because when I'm putting weights on myself, I don't do as much volume. So I have that balance in the week where I'm doing training with weights that is really, really high intensity and low volume trainings. And then I have the other part of the week where I'm doing high volume and low intensity. And for some reason, I mean, for some reason, exactly for that reason, I have that balance, you know, in intensity and volume. And I realized that I feel much more capable of recovering. So I'm not, so I'm just playing with that right now also, because I'm pretty new with weighted. I am still kind of, you know, introducing myself to it. I'm not able to go as hard on those workouts. So these are kind of my, right now, I would say, deload workouts. And yeah, so I think this is right now pretty balanced stage. So for the future, I'll probably add some more volume into those workouts. I'm sticking to like muscle ups with 20 kg, because I think that's like maximum that I saw on endurance competition. So I'm trying to be as specific as possible. Don't want to go too much in weights, because I'm not really adapted to that. And also I just like, you know, training with lower weights is just what I enjoy doing.
Maybe asking the general question, Urosh, how do you progress on endurance, and what types of training should someone follow? So we already talked about the deload as an element that is important. You need to have a good body feeling. I think you cannot maybe generalize and say every 3 months or something, but it depends on the general training that you do. But like someone asked EO Calisthenics on Instagram, how do you progress on calisthenics on endurance? How would you answer that as a general question?
Endurance is something I enjoy the most, and endurance is something that I want to build more in the next years, you know, and that's going to be my, I think, only focus in my working out. So as I said, you know, these days I train much smarter. You know, I'm focusing on the muscular endurance, on the increasing my body working out capacity, and you know, I'm doing long sets, similar to the sets to the set that was for the calisthenic cup requirement. You know, like the sets that are made of a series of exercises, and they last for several minutes, maybe sometimes 10 plus minutes. And after that, you take a break of 5 to 8 to 10 minutes, and then you're going again to the same set. So such sets, you know, contain 150 plus repetitions of different exercises, you know. And of course, that's not all, you know, I mean, that's the main point of my workouts, but I also throw various EMO workouts, supersets, three sets options that will make my workouts complete. So if someone, you know, like in the beginning asked me, hey man, I want to build the endurance. Okay, that's not the problem. Just need to plan really smart. How will you progress, and how to maintain those kind of workouts, like doing the, like building your body working capacity. So I think that's the most important for the endurance sets. We need to catch our breath as soon as possible, so we will be able to continue, you know, next set or next exercise. You know, we saw that on the competitions, you know, this is really important. You know, we need to slow slow down our pulse, you know, to reduce the heart rate as fast as we can, you know, so we can progress to the next exercise. And because of that, our workout routines need to be in that way, you know, created with exercises and the sets that uses as less rest as it can. You know, we don't have a, of course, I mean, we don't have a luxury to do 5 to 6 sets of 10 pull-ups and then resting, you know, like 3 to 4 minutes. That's not going to be efficient for our goal, you know. But for the beginners, first they need to advance in their maximum reps for each exercise, you know. Like, you need to build pull-ups with the proper form. You need to build push-ups with the proper form. You need to build dips with the proper form, you know. And when you reach some, let's say, 20 pull-ups or something like that, okay, then you can start thinking about the pyramid workouts. You can start thinking about EMOMs. Okay, if we want to maintain and improve our endurance. So it's a long road, of course, and we cannot expect in the 1 or 2 years to compete on the highest level with the pro athletes. But, you know, step by step, and think smart, plan smart, adapt those systems in your workouts, and you will reach your maximum potential eventually.
How important is it to go to muscle failure, to like full all out?
Muscle failure is definitely part of my workouts, but I think it's really rare for me to go to a total muscle failure. I mean, most of the time I'm in the red zone, and the red zone is when you have a couple of reps, you know, keeping, you know, just for any case. So it's not total failure, but it's close to failure. And I think that's the key to improve your maximum reps and your maximum potential. To be as much as you can in your red zone, to start feeling really comfortable being there. And in that way, your body will feel hey, this zone is my friend, you know, I'm getting used to this, you know, I will not go to the failure just that, you know, just like that. So yes, I'm most of the time in those red zones, going almost to my limits. And after that, you know, I just use a little bit of break and continue, you know. And I think this is the biggest advantage of the calisthenics over the gym workouts, you know, because you're more in those close to failure zones than when guys doing gym exercises, like they're pressing bench or whatever, you know, they reach their maximum reps and they will take 5 minutes rest, and they're going all the way back to the green zone, relaxing and chilling. And what, come on, man, 5 minutes, 3 minutes in the green zone, that's too much, you know. I mean, and calisthenics, you're going all the way to the top, you know, going there, just take a little bit rest, you know, lower your pulse, and you're ready, feel ready, bam, again there, you know, and you're getting used to those hard workouts. So that's the thing I'm doing on my workouts.
Nice. Sounds really good. You also mentioned pyramid workouts, and this is something, Bruno, that stuck with me since your visit in Germany, the pyramid workouts, because I really enjoy, and I'm always fascinated when I'm entering to ChatGPT, hey, I did a pyramid workout with dips from 1 to 17, how many reps did I do? And always when it tells me how many reps I did, I'm like, wow, that's crazy how much volume you can squeeze in. Also the thought, you know, there are sometimes impulses. Bruno, you said you just go down to 45 seconds instead of 1 minute for the EMOMs, and this also helps you to have less break and be able to put more volume into less time. So things like this help so much. So maybe you can also share again with the people, what do you like so much about the pyramid workouts and what is it?
Yes, of course. So I am introducing pyramids in my trainings like a lot during a week, The reason why is simply because, just like Ashke said, they bring you really into that red zone until you're reaching your muscle failure. But they're doing it very, very closely, which is also help you with recovery in between the sets. It also help you build a lot of volume in your trainings. It helps you with aerobic capacity, muscular endurance. They are really amazing tool to, you know, build everything. So that's why I do them. But I also like, you know, I would like to add to what Ashke said, when it comes to progressing in my trainings, I always have like 2 to 3 types of workouts. One of those workouts is similar to pyramids, just like we talked. You want to start in the green zone and eventually getting closer and closer into the red zone. So this is something that will help you with all of those things that I said. Then I have a different type of workout when you are kind of want to keep yourself in the yellow zone. The reason why is this is probably the most similar to what you are doing on the competition. You have a large set with the different exercises. And your goal is to keep yourself at the pace when you are able to keep, keep the same intensity during the set. You don't want to go too high because then you'll not be able to rest for the other exercise. That will bring your final time lower or higher, sorry, higher. You will reach your failure much quicker. If you're going too low, you'll simply be too slow. So you want to keep yourself at the pace where it's just, you know, enough for you to recover properly during the sets. And for me, I like to do like similar style on pyramids, just let's say MOMS, when I will choose 50 to 60% of my maximum reps in a certain exercise, and then I'll try to keep that for as much as possible. So this is my second type of workout. And then you have your, I have my third type of workout when you are probably reaching the red zone pretty quickly in a workout. So these are high intensity sets when you are on every set getting close to your maximum. Let's say I can do 60 pull-ups. I will probably on my first set already do like 50 pull-ups, 55 pull-ups. And then I will rest for a little longer. And then I will try to do again my second red zone maximum, which will probably not be the same number, a little lower, but I'll try to keep intensity as high as possible. This third type of workout is helping you to bring your maximum reps, to add your maximum reps. It will be able to increase your reps. And that's why I like to do these three types of workouts. It's really something that when you're a competition, you know that you are going to have a lot of aerobic capacity, you know, to go through all of the exercise. You know, you will know that you'll be able to kind of determine what is your yellow zone because you're kind of training in your yellow zone in your workouts. And you also know what is your red zone. So I think it's really, really important to do that, you know, for the competition if you are trying to get as the best time possible.
Yeah, interesting. So I think like, especially for the Calisthenics Cup, where we aim to have like really long routines to really separate the best from the second best, you know, like I think the longer a routine is, the more difference you see between the elite and the pro. And
yeah,
this is really, I'm looking forward to how well your training styles will help you to perform in April. I think, will be
I would also like to add something. I don't know if that's why Ashke is smiling for. So this set that we had for Calisthenics Cup, we had a qualification set. And me and Ashke kind of, because I'm pre-qualified, me and Ashke kind of together, you know, send each other sets to see how fast we are. And I did my first attempt and I show it to Ashke. I don't want to say the time because maybe, you know, it's a secret still until we know who passed, who not. But I show my Ashke the time and I was like a lot slower than him. And the only reason why I was slower is because he optimize the set a little better. So that's it. You know, he did one rep more here. He did one rep. It was just a matter of a couple of reps, you know, and he was able to beat me for like 1.5, 2 minutes. So it's crazy how you can be really good with your performance, but if you optimize the set wrongly, you will just, you know, start slacking. So yeah,
what does it mean? Did you go too much until failure, and he made like you made breaks earlier, or how can
exactly? Exactly, he was in that yellow zone that I was speaking of, and because I was on my first attempt, I was really, really going closer to that red zone. When you're in the red zone, when you are going close to your maximum, it's much harder to recover. So you want to keep it, you know, in the middle where you are able to recover for your next set. And then last set was the muscle ups. For muscle ups, you really need, you know, explosiveness and power, and I was having none of that, and that's why I was, you know, slacking so much.
Yeah,
but it's again, the longer the routines get, the more you feel it's a marathon and not a sprint, even though it's only, let's say, I don't know what the times were, like around 10 minutes, around 8 minutes or something.
Yeah, 10 minutes,
let's say, like really that a pro should need for this routine. But you see this when a marathon runner, a professional one, runs against a beginner. The beginner starts to run like really quick, and the professional knows, you know, like I will need my energy for later, and it's not about the first 400 meters or something. But yeah, that's interesting. But it's also nice that you see the difference and that you compare the performances.
Yeah, I felt that. I also, when I tried first this routine, I did it, you know, with a really bad time. And when I reached the pull-ups after first set of pull-ups, I did, I think, 30 in those first pull-ups, you know, and my body was down, you know. My form was really bad after that. I was really close to failure, you know, and I had to continue. So, you know, I did the whole set in that way, you know, just so I can watch the video later, you know. So I watched the video, I did a little analyzing the video, and I found out, okay, I can optimize this, and this. I will try that, you know, and I see, hey, man, come on, it's way more better, you know, just to optimize. That's really important, you know, to learn from the small mistakes, you know. Just to be better next time.
Yeah, this is why every calisthenics beginner should start filming, like even pros should start filming themselves, because of course this was more like energy reserve thing, but also form wise, when you film yourself, you can discover so many mistakes and some like optimize so much with only watching your own performance. And if you like check a professional basketball player or something, they check their competitors, they watch the videos, they do analysis of how they do their plays, etc. And this is what we should do more in calisthenics, to learn more from each other, to analyze more, to dig deeper into this material. So yeah, interesting. Were you happy with your performances from last year? Like, or do you know, oh, I want to do this and this better? Maybe Bruno, you start.
No, I wasn't happy at all. I was so so sad after it, because I don't know what happened to me in Germany. I went and visit you right after the competition. I mean, you already saw how weak I was. It was crazy. Like when we were doing pull-ups with weights, I was barely able to lift 50 kg pull-ups. And before the competition, at home, I was trying to do some weighted muscle-ups just to prepare myself for them. I wasn't able to do those at all. Like anything above 10 kg, I think I wasn't able to do. So yeah, that competition was just like, okay, come here, just, you know, visit the city, just introduce yourself to, you know, these athletes, because I was super happy to finally meet Sergio, to finally meet Jamie. And this is the main reason why I came. But yeah, my performance was super bad. I'm aware of that, and hopefully I can do it much, much better this 2025.
I think Bruno was a really good competitor. You know, I think it was really close with Jamie. I mean, you know, both of them are extremely high-level athletes, you know. You know, maybe the luckier guy won that day, you know, but next time, who knows? I mean, the competition was truly incredible. I mean, it was a real privilege just to stand on the podium with all the, you know, lights on you, and the feeling was unique. You know, I mean, you need to experience that. I mean, so you know, I lost in the first round. You know, my opponent was the Tony from the Spain, very good competitor who came, you know, ready and sharp to win, and he truly deserved that. But watching the video of my performance after the competition, you know, and talking to the people from my team, you know, I realized very quickly what was wrong. You know, I simply did not adapt my body to the competition, the exercises and the set itself. I did all wrong. You know, so I mean, starting the set, I was feeling really strong. You know, in the beginning of the set, I was really motivated. You know, full of energy. You know, and you know, in the maybe second half of the set, you know, everything broke down. You know, just my energy fell down. You know, my body was empty, and I was thinking in my head, what's going on? You know, how can this happen? Because you know, I tried this set a few times. You know, back in the place where I work out. You know, and everything was good. You know, I did it with a really good time. You know, but that day something went wrong. You know, and I had to figure out what happened. Because you know my energy sucked out, you know, like the balloon, you know. And the first thing that tired me were the push-ups. I did them with too narrow grip, you know. This means my body had to travel a longer distance to meet the judge's criteria. That destroyed my shoulders. Primarily because I had a lot of no reps, you know, because, you know, basically because of that longer, you know, space my body needs to travel, you know. So that was the first mistake, you know. After that, my shoulders were down, you know, and shoulders are so much important for all the calisthenics exercises. The second thing and the second mistake was on the squats. I mean, the problem with the squats is that I didn't work out on them at all, you know, before the competition, you know, so my form was really bad, you know, because to perform the squat, you know, I had to lean too much forward, you know, and with that mistake, I activated too much my lower back, you know, and lower back, you know, are so much important for the proper body posture, you know, and in more or less all exercises. So, you know, after the second mistake, my shoulders and my lower back's completely gone, you know. And, you know, I mean, the third mistake, I think maybe was the at the muscle ups, because I was doing muscle ups mostly with momentum on my exercises, and mostly I was, you know, I was using momentum too much, you know, instead of focusing on the small details that would improve my technique and consume less energy, you know. I didn't saw that, you know. I was just thinking, okay, I'm doing a lot of muscle ups on my workouts, and those muscle ups were really good, I think, on my workouts, but they were not optimized for the calisthenic competition, you know. Simply they're using too much energy, too much explosive power, you know, and my battery was almost empty after maybe 50% of the set, you know. And for every guy watched there, they can see that you know, after the, you know, first part of the set, you know, I was just slowing down, slowing down, slowing, slowing, slowing. And when I reached the last muscle ups, I couldn't do, even one muscle up. I think I needed at least 7 or 8 minutes of the rest to do one muscle up, proper muscle up. So, but of course, yes, Tony, well-deserved victory. Better man won. I learned from the mistake, and I hope I'm gonna qualify for the 2025. And I need
You
to, I don't know. Depends on the other, other competitions, competitors. But we'll see.
We'll see. The most important thing is to learn and to move on and to improve from it. But yeah, you talked a lot about efficiency of the moves, and that's like of the exercises, and I think that's also a really big benefit of yeah, doing the competition form, doing the competition rounds, but also filming yourself so you can spot your own inefficiencies. Because yeah, sometimes for muscle ups, you see athletes who have to do 20 muscle ups or something, and they start with the first one pulling to the hip, like just to use like way too much explosivity. But if you check like Max, for example, he the first muscle up looks like the last one, and he has like a really efficient technique for the skills. So yeah,
Big lesson,
nice,
yeah.
yeah, that's true. We had questions for recovery methods. We talked a lot about now overtraining and being like really exhausted after intense training periods. What do you think of stuff like ice bath? Someone asked.
I'm doing cold exposure for more than 3 years now. It starts early in the morning, when I get up from the bed, I do my breathing technique, Wim Hof breathing technique, and after that I'm going to the cold shower most of the time for 3 minutes. I think that's enough, for the cold shower. But from time to time there is also the ice bath, like going to a frozen lake or a cold lake, or more extreme, like fast cold mountain rivers. I think that's the more extreme than the stable water. But I think this is really, really good for the recovery, and not just for the recovery, just to boost your dopamine over the all day, all the week. It's the healthy way to boost your good hormones. Because of that, I think that's the key becoming a superhuman, because we need to get comfortable to uncomfortable things, right? We are during the our life period, we are getting used to the warm clothes, like put your jacket, your hat, your gloves, whatever, and go outside. I mean that's okay, but eventually we need to adapt for small shocks, to be better tomorrow in the bigger shocking situations, and also, we will teach our body, to use this most of that to recover, to progress and everything. So cold exposure, I think that's a really, really good thing for improving our body and our soul on the way to become a superhuman. Really good idea. But you need to be cautious, First time when I decided to do a cold shower, I just, get into the shower, cold water, and I was filming a video. Immediately, I forgot everything what I wanted to say, and I started breathing really heavily, like I was dying. Oh my God, help me, And I planned to be there 20 to 30 seconds, and I stayed for 1 minute and 40 seconds, because I get lost of everything, of time, of sentences I wanted to say, of everything. And I think that's not a really good idea to start your cold exposure. And after that, I ordered Wim Hof book, and I start reading a book. Okay, I'll first inform myself, Okay, in the book you said after your regular showers, just you can finish your showers with 10 seconds of the cold water. And for the first week, that's enough, you know. I mean, that's really good advice. I mean, I started, you know, with 1 minute and 40 seconds right away with cold water. And that's really bad, you know, right away on my head. So step by step, yeah.
Yeah, same with workout, no? Like it's the same thing that we talked about. Someone who directly starts doing his 200 push-ups or something will not last as long as someone who takes it progressively and with a plan, you know, who someone who educated himself, herself. So, yeah. What are your favorite recovery methods, Bruno?
So I kind of started to do something that is, I would say, pretty unpopular, or at least it's not considered something that really help you, which is the foam rolling. And the reason why I started to do it last year when I have an injury, I had an injury which wasn't really an injury. It was more just like a tight muscle that led to injury because that tight muscle create an unbalancement in my shoulder mobility. I had a really tight lats and a really tight teres major, which are these muscles right here. And when they are tight, sorry if you see my armpit right there. When they are tight, they kind of restrict your shoulder mobility. And when you're doing a lot of overhead exercises like pull-ups, you don't want your shoulder to be like this when you're hanging on the bar, right? Because this is not good. You want to be able to lift your arm as much as possible, and just so your muscle can move everything in balance. My problem was I wasn't really cautious of that. I wasn't really do a lot of stretching, and those tight muscles kind of created a strain in those same muscles. And I kind of started to do a little bit of research, and it's really crazy how unpopular it is, you know. Those things, they are called like a trigger points, and a lot of people are not really knowing about them and have a similar issues when it comes to mobility. And I started, you know, I bought myself a foam roller, a little ball, you know, just a myofascial ball that you can roll on your muscles. And when I start rolling, I was also doing it alongside tutorials. And when I started rolling, it was crazy how much spots that I found that are really, really hurting, like 9 to 10 intensity hurting. When you roll your muscles, you really shouldn't feel any kind of pain, you know. Imagine just feeling that much pain. So I started to massage myself on those muscles, and I could feel relief right away. So whenever I was doing a pull-up, it was hurting like my entire upper arm alongside triceps. And right after massage, the same working session, when I started to go on pull up, the pain was like zero. And then I realized, okay, that's definitely it. And for an injury that like cost me like a year, I was able to solve it in less than 2 weeks by just foam rolling. And this is something I do right now. So I foam roll before every session. Those muscles that are really important, especially those muscles around my shoulder, and I will stretch them right after the workout session. And I don't think it's common in gym community, and that's why I think it's really unpopular. I don't think it's common to, you know, have this so much trigger points in gym community because the training style is simply different. You know, you are not doing such a high volume. You are more depending on intensity. Until you know you want to do maybe 8 to 12 reps of each exercise. Now imagine doing like 30 to 50 pull-ups in a set. It's not the same. So I think in street workout, it's much more common to get those trigger points. It's much more common to restrict your shoulder movement, shoulder mobility, and it's much more common to get injured in that way. So maybe if someone is watching this, if it has the same issues, you know, just try to find some tutorials on trigger points, how to release them on your shoulders, on your back muscles, on your chest muscles, and maybe you'll feel a lot better. So yeah, this is definitely my first go-to when it comes to recovery, right alongside simply taking a rest day, simply sleeping a lot, simply tracking my nutrition. This is something practical that you can actually, you know, do.
Yeah, because of like a few weeks ago, I thought where it's so crazy, like you can, for example, shorten a muscle or like shorten your whole tendons, etc., while sitting for a year. But then if you only stretch for 2-3 weeks, you can get away like the stuff that you ruined in your body for a year. So basically stretching is so efficient. Yeah, like you can really solve years of problems in only a few weeks. And that's like really, really crazy. It's like something that we should use more, and especially if it throws you back, like you, Bruno, with having 1 year of pain and 1 year of not effective progress.
Yeah. Especially if you are, you know, learning by yourself, you're not going to. Maybe if I just go on to physiotherapist, physio, they will fix me up, or maybe they won't, because as I said, it's not really popular opinion. And I saw a lot of YouTube videos when they're actually kind of, how do I say it? They are telling like it's an impossible thing to have such a tight muscles to restrict your movement, and those same people are using, you know, what kinds of, you know, steroids and everything. So it's easy for them to recover, but for us who are trying to, you know, achieve all of this natural, it's much more common to get injured in that way.
Yeah. Talking about recovery, also like the question of supplements came up. So two people from the community, Stefan and Lanini, asked, what do you think about supplements, and specifically creatine? Does it help for what you do, or is it not necessary? Maybe Urosh, you want to start?
Yeah, currently I don't use creatine. I didn't use creatine at all, you know, but I'm planning to start using creatine, and I will record the video, maybe what's going to happen with your body in the, I don't know, 90 days after using the creatine. But I think it can help us a lot with our explosiveness. I think that's the most important part of the creatine, you know, to boost your energy. So it's like someone is pushing you, you know, to do a little bit more, a little bit further. And besides that, you know, I will also suggest for people to think about the essential minerals and vitamins, which are really important, as we talked before, for our joints, you know, for our bones, for our generally health. You know, I think that is the most important. Also, of course, and the healthy fats, omega-3, you know, and the something like as we talk about minerals like zinc, you know, like magnesium, like this is also the important part of the recovery, you know, and also important part of making our body stronger. I think also, of course, the protein has the big role in everything, because, you know, it helps us build and maintain our muscles. So those are the, I think, the most important supplements you want to take to, you know, improve your body and to be better than you were before. Only because, I mean, of course, healthy nutrition, I mean, but sometimes we don't have access to, I don't know, organic chickens or veggies, or, you know, I mean, we all both buy that in the supermarkets, and who guarantee us that this is really organic? I don't know, you know, I mean, for example, here in Serbia, I mean, we don't have a sea, and we only have a frozen fish from the sea, you know, and I need omega-3, you know, and I will buy, of course, supplements that are that have really quality of omega-3. So I mean, we need to think what do we need, you know, and to try to find as best quality as we can for the food, for the supplements. I mean, creatine is good, but if you're a beginner, don't think too much about supplements. Don't think too much about creatine, about pay. Just go out there, work out, and try to eat as healthier as you can, you know. Try to push away, let's say, a bad fuel foods, like, you know, like, I don't know, soda drinks and, you know, snacks or whatever similar like that. You know, for that's the first step, you know. And when you advance, you know, and then you can think about, you know, implementing the supplements in your daily routine. So they are not necessary, you know, especially in the beginning, but after that, you can implement them. Yeah, that's my opinion, you know. But soon I will start with the test, with the creatine, you know. I will try to put subtitles in the video.
Bruno, what do you think?
Amazing. Yeah, I'm using creatine for quite a while, and the reason why is not really because of the performance boost that it gives you, because I don't really think the performance boost is a lot when it comes to endurance training. I use it because I read, and there is a lot of research when it says that it's really actually good for your health in general, not if you're only, you know, athlete. I think people should actually use creatine that are not athletes. I don't really know right now for what is exactly good for. I think stuff like bone density, stuff like gut health, you know, a lot of stuff that they are not really connected to workouts. I mean, bone density is, but, you know, you can improve it simply by taking creatine. So when it comes to performance, I didn't really realize much improvements. Maybe it's because, you know, I'm training straight and endurance, and creatine is like a really quick, I mean, it stores in your muscles as a really quick source of energy. And I think it mostly kind of helps you with your maximum strength, which in endurance training is not really the case. You are probably only training with, you know, 30 to 50, maybe 70% of intensity. However, I realized that when I was recovering and when I wanted to get back in shape, I realized that creatine kind of make it so it's easier for me to get back, you know, the same numbers that I was before, maybe simply because, you know, it kind of improved my strength, because strength was really important at that time when I was lacking. So yeah, this is some of my experience with creatine. As I said, even if I stop training, I will still kind of use it, because it's only common in red meat. And just like Ashke said, a lot of food now is processed. You don't even know what you're getting in your meat today. So yeah, just like omegas, I think it's a really good supplement to take. It's also pretty cheap and one of the most researched supplements. So, you know, it's fine. It's good for you.
Yeah, but like Uros, as you said, the most important thing, especially for beginners, someone who starts, who shouldn't be overwhelmed by all the things you could do, who squeeze out a little percentage here and there, the most important thing is to have a good and healthy nutrition. So can you tell us more about your nutrition? What is important? Is it important to eat a lot of carbs because you need a lot of energy for endurance? Is it only the protein? What is it that you put your focus on?
Yeah. Nutrition is really, really important. I mean, I'm trying to eat as healthy as I can. You know, I'm trying to, you know, buy eggs for the people I know. They have their own chicken. You know, I'm trying, you know, to buy as much food that I truly believe it is organic. You know, but I mean, that's the first step for a beginners. And you know, in these days, I mean, in the last couple of years, I'm eating pretty much the same meals, you know, like starting with the oatmeal, you know, and then going to something with the eggs, different type of making the eggs, you know, and the third meal of the day is something with chicken and with the carbs, you know, like some basic stuff like chicken in the air fryer. You know, I'm trying not to use oil at all, and doing some, I don't know, for carbs, Sometimes I use I rarely use rice. I don't like the rice, but I can use potato, you know. I can use veggies like that, and that's the something I'm making most of the times. I make pasta sometimes, and for the fourth meal, sometimes it's just like something with the whey protein, some homemade shake, or like protein pudding or something like that. And basically, those kinds of the meals I'm eating several years in the past, you know. I'm enjoying them. I can never get bored of this type of foods, of the eggs, of the oats, of the chicken. I enjoy every time when I prepare this kind of foods. I mean, simply I can't get bored with that. And that's my advice to every average guy there who wants to start eating healthy. Just try to eat as clear food as you can. Simple food, you know. Don't create some I don't know Jamie Oliver recipe, you know, where you put, you know, 10 to 15 ingredients, you know. I mean, those are really cool meals, you know. They look good, they smell good. I mean, the taste is amazing, but it's really complex to create them back home. You need something simple that takes less time, you know, and that will motivate you to do, I don't know, maybe meal prep to prepare food for the next 2 or 3 days. Put the food in the fridge, and you will have a more time, you know, tomorrow for you. So yeah, I mean, that's the advice for the beginner. And I don't count calories. If I decide to count calories, I will do that in the maybe first 2 or 3 days, and after that I will remember the amount of the food I put for, I don't know, maybe 2,000 calories. Okay, I used 400 of chicken, 500 of potato, whatever, and tomorrow I will use the same. I will not count every day, because you know it can really exhaust us in the, you know, in our heads, you know, just to count, to write everything, you know, and that can demotivate us to continue our healthy path. So yeah, that's it.
Yeah, same with training back to the basics, like basic food, you know, basic recipes.
We start from the basics. I mean, in every aspect of our life, you know, we start with the first step, you know, when we're really young, you know, and that's the case when we get older, you know. If you want to implement something, if you want to be better in something, you need to go slowly, step by step, you know. Don't make mistakes, you know, like that's the case in the workouts, you know. Like, don't do workouts that are not well planned, that are not well modified to your goal. What is your goal? You need to learn a first pull up. Okay, do exercises that will help you do your first pull up. Don't try to do muscle up if you can barely do 4 pull ups. We need to be realistic with ourselves, you know. So, I mean, I had the opportunity, you know, in the last couple of years working out with so many clients, and the most common mistake, over 90%, it's mistake in poor training. That's the biggest mistake of them all. And because of the poor training, people often think, okay, I reached my plateau and that's it. I cannot improve myself, you know. And that's the also the reason, one of the reasons that the people that are outside of calisthenic world, when they see really shredded guy, like really a guy that is full of, like for example, Max True or Bruno, or I don't know, there are too much of them. They will
They're
say,
not natural.
this guy is using, I don't know, so many steroids. I mean, he is full of the holes of the needle and whatever, you know. But simply, these guys are doing it on the right way. They have really well-planned workouts, you know. they have workout routines that they will change when they change their goal, you know. They will not feel bad or shame if they decide to decrease their number of reps, their number of sets, just to be in the 2 or 3 months to be better than they were before, you know. That's the main goal, you know. And every beginner needs to be aware of that. They are just doing the wrong way. They're not at their plateau, you know. They only scratch the surface. But when you implement the true and right methods, you will see, you know, much better picture, you know, and you will advance as the athlete, and of course you will advance as a man, you know. You will figure out, okay, you know, it's not bad, you know, if I decide to change something that I was thinking it was the best way possible. Same with nutrition, same with the workout, same with the life.
That's true. Yeah, and this is also one goal of this podcast, to have more benchmarks, because you say it's unrealistic for someone who can do 4 pull-ups to think about a muscle up, but how shall a beginner know when it's realistic to think of learning a muscle up? And this is why I think having benchmarks, working with more people, talking to more people, reading books, reading, watching YouTube, listening to podcasts, exchanging yourself with professional athletes on events, convention, etc., it's super important, because you need to have more, like a wider view, more information, more data that you can compare yourself to.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, yeah. But for the beginner, I think they need to reach first 20 pull-ups in the set to be completely secure and confident that if they just implement correct technique, they already have strength for the first muscle up, but they need to implement real and the proper technique, and they will, you know, succeed in that goal. You know, just reach first 20 pull-ups, you know, it's going to be easier.
Because I don't understand the reason why you should say, oh, first, having 10 pull-ups only is enough to learn a muscle-up. Because if you go to 20, you will still progress way faster with the muscle-up. It will be way easier to get from the first muscle-up to the second to the third. So it will not be wasted time. It will just give you a better and more solid foundation. It will lower the risk of injury. So it only has benefits, and you should really build a more, like a better base before thinking about skills like the muscle up or other calisthenics skills.
Exactly. But you know, ego.
I had a really, sorry, yeah. Yeah, it's ego again, true.
Yeah.
Because you want to post this, oh, I unlocked my first muscle up on Instagram. This is why you want to go fast and not like, but you have to decide either you go fast or you go far. Yeah, but most people prefer to go fast.
Yeah.
A really interesting question from Alex Spencer for you, Bruno. Let's say a complete beginner wants to reach 50 pull-ups in one set. It's his lifetime goal. How would you program him? We don't have to go week by week, but like, let's say how many, like how would you start as a beginner? How would you tell a beginner to go to 50 pull-ups?
Mm-hmm. Well, it kind of depends what a beginner is. I mean, let's just, you know, have a number of how many pull-ups can he do right now, 0 or a little more, you know.
Let's say 1 to 5, something like
1 to 5. Okay. Well, I would say before having a goal of 50 pull-ups, let's start with 5 pull-ups, you know, because most people get stuck on that some big goal that they want to act similar with muscle-ups, you know. They cannot do even 2 to 3 pull-ups and they're already dreaming of muscle-ups, which is not bad. It's good to have that kind of a goal, but it's also really important to separate it in small steps that are also achievements. You know, some people want to be able to do 50 pull-ups and they will get to 20 pull-ups from 0 and they're still not satisfied. You know, I didn't hit 50 pull-ups. Why not? You know, just, you know, be happy. Turn these big goals into little ones. So yeah, this is the approach. If you are only able to do 1 pull-up, do that 1 pull-up, you know, because you can do it every day if possible. Eventually it will turn into 2. Not only with your own body weight, you can also, you know, let's say if you can do 1 pull-up every training on your first set, do that 1 pull-up. This is like your 1 rep max. This is amazing for building your strength. After that, you can do some bands pull-ups, resistant bands pull-ups. You can separate. I don't know how much of a resistance band do you have, but maybe try to find a resistance band that will help you to, you know, achieve 6 to 8 pull-ups. And then you can separate your other half of the training with those exercises, so it will be a little easier pull-ups, and it will improve your also strength because you are really in that low rep range. But it will also kind of help you with recovery in between sets. It will kind of boost your endurance, muscular endurance, and it will build a great foundation. You know, your technique, the way you're pulling yourself for your more pull-ups. Sorry. Also, another exercise that are body weight that can improve your back strength are inverted rows, sorry, horizontal rows, yeah, which are like Australian pull-ups. If some, you all know, you can do them on, let's say, a little lower bar. You know, you wanna hang beneath the bar and simply pull yourself horizontally. This is amazing for building your traps. Lower traps. And after that, a lot of people think that if they want to be strong at pulling exercise, they just need to do pulling exercise, which is not true. You also want to build a nice push foundation, you know, simply because of, as I said, it's really important to have nice mobile shoulders. You don't want to have your back slacking in front of your chest or vice versa. So you want to have a balance. Workouts. And I remember my beginning, which when I was beginner, I was only able to do like 3 pull-ups, maybe 10 to 20 push-ups, and maybe 10 dips. And my workouts were just like that. You know, I mean, I have a wrestling background. Wrestling is a really good sport for getting strength. But if you don't, I mean, you know, you can simply separate your workouts into those circles when you will do one pull-up, a couple of push-ups, a couple of dips, and then do it in circles. You know, there is really not a lot of room for mistake when you're a beginner. Whatever you do, simply when you work out, you will improve everything. You know, a lot of beginners are asking, I would say, too many questions. They just need to start enjoying the process. Because when you start training, you are not only building your body, you are building your mind, you know. You are preparing yourself for a journey that's, for me, lasting already 13 plus years, you know. A lot of people are just thinking about what's going to be tomorrow, you know. Am I able to switch from 1 to 5 pull-ups tomorrow? And I would say it really doesn't matter, because when I look right now from 30 plus years, what happened? Like in my beginning, it really doesn't matter how. However, I shape my workouts, I will be able to get to where I am today. Of course, somewhere in the middle ground, you need to train a little smarter. But in these beginning stages, it really doesn't matter that much, you know, because as I said, 50 pull-ups is a really big goal. Some people train for 8 years to be able to achieve 50 pull-ups. So that really doesn't matter at this point. You just want to, you know, start doing something, build your foundation.
Yeah, completely agree with that. Yeah. I mean, I get a lot of questions. People asking me, "Hey, man, if I do maximum per I don't know exercise, day one build to the maximum. If I do maximum each set, am I gonna improve my maximum?" And of course, answer is no. I mean, if you want to build, in this case, 50 pull-ups. Maybe only one workout per week will be your maximum or close to maximum sets, and that's enough. You know, you need to implement the sets where are you, like Bruno told, in yellow zone. You need to have yellow zone workouts, and after that you need to have the workouts that that are based on the volume, like doing crazy imams, you know. And when you combine maximum or close to maximum workouts and the yellow zone workouts and the green zone reps workouts, I think this is the perfect goal to build your maximum and to reach your 40, 50 pull-ups or for the dips is the same. No, just doing every workout maximum, it's not gonna be productive at all. In the beginning, yes, but after that, it just stops, and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, short reality check, Bruno, you said, like, and there will be people who train for 8 years who don't reach the 50 pull-ups. Yeah, I think the most important thing is consistency. Maybe that's like underlining your approach, Bruno, that it doesn't matter how much, like, really in specificity how you train, but it's to have a workout style that you can keep up over years, that you can like continue doing for 10 years, because then you will progress.
Exactly.
Because you see, Max has a different training style than Sergio. Sergio has a different training style than you guys. And it's like everyone trains a little bit different, but the most important thing is that to enjoy the workouts, to be consistent with them, and to have a long-term goal and know where you why you're training, like to have a why.
Exactly. And one more thing, like just as you mentioned, Max True, he's maybe not able to do as much pull-ups as I, but he will kill me in muscle-ups, let's be real. And maybe I'm not able to do as much pull-ups as Ashke, but when it comes to dips, you know, we all have certain things that we are better at, and it's important to look at that as well, because I remember even me sometimes wanted to achieve, you know, some unrealistic pull-up number, and I didn't really realize that maybe my genetic potential is not as good on pull-ups as it is on dips or push-ups, because I remember I was like really killing those pull-ups on my training, and I wasn't really paying much attention to push-ups or dips, but for some reason, you know, I can do a lot of them. And that's also really important, just because you want to do 50 pull-ups and you are not able to kind of, you know, look around yourself. Maybe you are genetically gifted for some other exercise that you want to keep up and to keep you motivated.
Yeah. And that's the fascinating thing about calisthenics. Bruno, you said if your goal is to do 50 pull-ups, you cannot ignore dips, for example, because you will have problems with disbalance, etc. Okay. But at the same time, you will need to, or like if you want, you can focus is super important. You cannot learn back lever, front lever, muscle up, everything at the same time, because you need more focus, you know, like, so on the one hand, it's important to build a well-balanced body. On the other hand, you need to be focused on a few goals, not achieving everything at the same time. So it's really fascinating, because it's like an open world video game where you can go into every direction. Every direction is a different thing. And you have to know for yourself where you want to go.
Exactly, especially when you are improving, like in the beginner stages, it's pretty wide range of options you can take. Like you can actually improve a lot of things in the beginning stages, but as you progress in your training, that you need to be more and more specific, because you are getting closer to your genetic potential, and you simply cannot, you know, work on the five things at once. Something just gotta, you know, have a little less attention given.
That's true. Nice. We're slowly coming to an end. I want to finish the podcast with the question, what's one piece of advice, Uroš, that you would give someone starting their fitness journey or like progressing in their fitness journey in 2025?
Okay, so first advice, don't rush. Okay, you have motivation. Motivation will be there, but sometimes you will not have the motivation. In the beginning, you don't have the discipline, you don't have nothing, but you can, you know, you can dream something that you want to achieve. So that's the first thing that will make you start with your fitness journey. Okay, you saw something who is strong. That's cool. I mean, that can be your next motivation to achieve. But okay, start smart, start searching, start exploring. Okay, find out what's the real proper form of each exercise. And when you find out that, trying to implement that in your workouts. And when you implement your proper form, you will try next to, you know, improve your number of reps, you know, and after you improve your number of reps, the main door will open you. The whole world of calisthenics, of working out, will open for you. and you will be free to explore whatever you want. You learned how to go step by step. You learned to be smart. You learned to do well-planned, well-modified workouts. And that will help you in the beginning and in the future to be smarter and to achieve your potential earlier and to be a top and pro athlete. So don't rush. Take your time, you know, and go out there, keep pushing and keep going. It's going to be something for you, man.
Wow.
Let's
That's
go.
Nice. Thank you for sharing. Bruno, do you have something to add? What do you think is the most important for someone starting?
I completely agree with Yashke. So don't rush. And maybe, you know, today everything is based on the social media and everyone has their own idols that they are following on Instagram. And you just got to understand that whoever you're following, they started posting probably when they're alone already good enough, you know. You won't see their beginnings on Instagram. They don't post their failures. And I think that's kind of, you know, double-edged sword, because you kind of following them for motivation, but at the same time, they are unmotivating you because they are better than you. And it kind of looks like they are not having bad days. They're not having failures. Trust me, they do. Trust me, I do. I just don't post about it because negativity, social media is already a lot. We have a lot of that. And I just, you know, if I want to motivate, I'll motivate. But I just want to tell a lot of people that we all started from the bottom. 13 years is not a small journey for me. And in all these 13 years, you probably see me post for 3 or 4 years of my progresses. So as I said, I was already pretty good. And everything that you see, even we talked about, you know, getting your first muscle up, getting your first pull-ups, those requirements that you have to go through, you know, if you want to get your first muscle up, you need to be able to do at least 10 pull-ups. This is all based on averages, you know, and people don't realize that if you want to take averages, there is also a lower spectrum of that, which means you will probably need to go 15 to 20 pull-ups if you want to do your first muscle up, because, you know, average means, you know, you have these two ranges that were simply cut down to make it more simple. So don't be scared if you are on that lower range of the spectrum, you know. You just need to put more work and trust me that you will succeed, you know. So yeah, this is my advice. Don't rush it and simply stay true to yourself and realize that everybody who is posting on social media and trying to motivate, they have their bad days and they also, you know, started from the bottom.
Wow, nice. That was a really, really good podcast episode. So if you listened to the end, you have zero excuses now to not crush this year. Really take it slow, step by step. But yeah, big, big thanks to you guys, Bruno, Roche, for sharing so much, for being so transparent with your ups, with your downs. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to see you latest in 3 months, hopefully at the FIBO, at the Calisthenics Cup, and see you crushing it there. I hope head judge Saibov
generous.
I'm missing generous with you. Correct. That's the word I was missing. I hope he's generous with you. Yeah. Again, big, big thank you, and all the best for your year as well to crush it. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
All the best, man, to you. Thank you.